God. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you praise. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your presence again, to learn out of you. We appreciate you, God, for teaching us deep mysteries of God, teaching us things, oh God, that the Bible says that even angels seek to look into. Blessed be you. We give you praise. We give you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now we began to teach about angels. And we did like a kind of introduction, and we looked at how angels, some fell, but some are still with God. The ones that are still with God are the one that we want to talk about. So angels of God, who are angels of God? Who are angels of God? Angels of God are spirits who have remained fully under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. And they are also called stars of God. They have remained fully under the control of the Holy Spirit and under God. And they are also called stars of God, sons of God, or winds. Mama, Isaiah 14:13. What does it say? Isaiah 14:13. They're talking about when Lucifer fell. So what did he say? Okay, let me read. Okay, you open Job. Open Job 1. Let me read Isaiah 14:13. He's talking to Lucifer. He said, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north." So that's the place where they called the angels stars of God. Amen.
Amen.
Job 1:6. They called them something else there. Job 1:6.
Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord.
Okay.
And Satan came also
among them.
Amen.
Amen. So it is when Jesus came and that they said those that believed in him have been given the authority to be called sons of God. But this is in the Old Testament. In fact, Job has happened before Abraham. The book of Job is really the first book in the Bible. Things that happen in eternity past, you know. So in the Old Testament, sons of God. So these sons of God they're talking about here are angels. They came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Amen. You know, I told you that Satan was the angel that the only angel that could go near the throne of God before he fell, Lucifer. The Bible says that he walks among the stones because the throne is placed on stones of fire. He was the only one who could walk among the stones of fire. So here they are not talking about human beings, they're talking about angels. So Satan too came among them because God still allows him into his presence. I don't know why. For that is God for you. Now another name they call them is in Psalm 148:8. It said, "Fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling his word." So they call angels winds. They fulfill the word of God. And that's why I had made the point that you cannot command angels. The only thing that commands them is the word. And that's why we use the word of God to pray. We turn it into prayer. It's called prophetic praying. As soon as you do that, angels are ready to do the bidding of that word. of that word. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's look at original formation of angels. Original formation of angels. How were the angels arranged and organized in heaven before Lucifer fell? So there are three groups of angels. There are still three groups of angels, even now. And they were originally headed by... There are three groups of angels. And they are, each one is headed by a chief angel. Because it's only, we used to think it's an archangel. But it's only Michael that is called an archangel. And you look through the Bible, it's only twice they even talked about him, thinking Daniel and in the book of Jude. So there were three columns of angels, and they are headed by a chief angel. All right, number one column is the warrior angels. They are the warrior angels, and they are headed by Michael, the archangel. As I said, he's only one called an archangel. Jude 1:9. It's okay, we won't read it. He's the only one called an archangel in the book of Jude 1:9. And he's the chief angel and is specifically in charge of fighting for God's people, especially the Jews. In the Old Testament, they said in the book, in Daniel, they said, Michael, your prince. An angel came and was talking to the Daniel 10, where the Daniel was fasting and his prayers were delayed. So the angel that came said, oh, I was delayed by a demon angel, and that the prince of Persia, and that it was Michael, your prince, that came to fight for me. So he was called the prince of the Jews. He's in charge of God's people. Of course, we are now added to that, because we became the children of Abraham by faith in Christ. Amen. And therefore, when Christ was going to be born, as was described in Revelation 12, the Bible says that a dragon was waiting, a woman was traveling, and a dragon was waiting to eat the child. And of course, it's nothing to him to eat the mother as well. So there was war in heaven. So Revelation 12:7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Amen. And of course, they prevailed against him. But Michael was sent because the Messiah was going to be born into the Jewish nation, and he was sent. Now, the second group of angels, number two group of angels, were the messenger angels. Maybe, Mama, open Luke 1 while I'm talking. Now, the messenger angels, they bring message to and fro. And the head of the messenger angels is Angel Gabriel. Is Angel Gabriel. And he introduced himself quite plainly many times in scripture, especially to the mother of the Messiah. So Luke 1:19, what does it say?
And the angel answered, said unto him, mm-hmm. I am Gabriel,
okay,
that stand in the presence of God, mm-hmm. and am sent to speak unto thee,
yes,
and to shew thee this
glad tidings. Now that's likely the father of John the Baptist. Because the man said, are you sure about these things you are saying? He said, I am Gabriel. There's another, and I stand in the presence of God. So he's the chief angel that was sent, not a small angel at all. The same Gabriel was sent to Joseph and to Mary to tell them about their wonderful son that is going to be born. Now the third column of angels are the ministering angels. The ministering angels. And their head used to be Lucifer.
Ministering
angels, yes. Their head used to be Lucifer. But he fell because of his pride and great beauty. The Bible says he was beautifully encrusted with precious stones. I had musical instruments placed inside him. And his voice, oh, was out of this world. That's in Ezekiel 28. We're not going there. Now, he fell because of his beauty. His functions necessitated him to be the closest angel to the throne of God. His functions necessitated him to be the closest angel to the throne of God. He was the angel that covered the throne of God to protect other creatures from coming near, so that they will not be incinerated by the fire of God. Not because they will harm God in any way, but for their own. But he fell because of his pride and great beauty. You will note that even till now, there are some special men and women that minister to kings, earthly kings, and they are dressed in colorful attire, and they sing his praises. They are just copying what God did in heaven. That's just what that is. They call them a joker. They make jokes. In those days in England, they call them the joker. He will dress in colorful clothes. He was to make the king happy. In Yoruba land, you find them, they sing to the king his praises. They'll be singing his praises. When he's getting up, they'll be singing. When he's sitting down, they sing. When nobody's saying anything in the court, they'll be singing his praises. They'll sing the praises of his father, his father's father, you know, and so on and so forth. So that was the kind of ministering angel that Lucifer was. And of course, he was in charge of the choir in heaven. Oh, yes, I'm going to read it myself. Ezekiel 28:13-18. Because I'm going to read in parts. I'm not going to read everything. He said, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee the day thou was created. Those are musical instruments. So when he's singing, it's a whole orchestra singing. He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. I have said this so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. We don't know where iniquity came to heaven, but he became proud. Verse 17 says, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He said, I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee. Then he said something, therefore I will bring forth a fire from the midst of thee, and it shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the midst of all them that behold thee. So he took the anointing for ministering to God. God took it from Lucifer. And who did he give it to? He gave it to man. Amen. Because he's already cast him to the ground. Then he said, I will take the fire from you. And of course, he gave it to man. And so man became the enemy of Lucifer. Of course, when Lucifer fell, he became His name changed to Satan, that is the adversary. And he became an adversary to man. He became the enemy. He looks as man as his enemy, because we took that anointing from him. And the choir became his particular object of hatred. He hates them with a perfect hatred and always seeks to infiltrate and pervert their ranks. Amen.
Amen.
Now, angels are messengers of God. All of them are messengers of God. Sorry.
He always infiltrates
and seeks to pervert the choir. He will infiltrate the choir with his agents. You see, the choir takes us to the presence of God. They are the first to minister. You see? And so if you can put some his own agents there, when they are singing, it pollutes the anointing. And then where do you take us to? You can't take us to the presence of God. You can't bring down the presence of God into the service. And that affects the whole church. Now, all angels are servants or messengers of God. That's how they introduce themselves. So, Mama, you open Revelation 22. We're going to read 8 and 9 while I'm talking about other things, while I'm leading to it. Now, angels, they do God's bidding wherever he sends them in the whole universe. Amen. So they don't come only to the earth. They go anywhere God sends them in the universe. Now, Psalm 103, you know God is called the King of the universe. So anywhere he sends them, they go. Now, let me read Psalm 103 first. Psalm 103:20 says something about angels. It says, "Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Did you hear that again? Only the word of God. They don't hearken to us. Some people say they are commanding angels. You can't command them. I have not seen them able to command them. They just look at you askance, as if, am I your servant? They are to minister to us. They are not our servants. Just as it's difficult for me to say, well, even though we're the children of the king, you see, we're children of the king, they can only listen to us so long as we are saying things that the king wants to be done. All right? Anything that is the will of the king, they will hearken to us. But then we have to bring it from his word. We have to bring it from the Bible. And then they will hearken to whatever we say. Amen.
Amen.
So long as that word was given by the Holy Spirit. You see, all these things work in a very beautiful pattern. So long as the word was given to you by the Holy Spirit, the angels, the Holy Spirit will allow the angels to go and hearken to that, the voice of that word. Amen.
Amen.
You know, sometimes Christians will just take one word and want to use it to justify what they are doing. In such a case, angels will not hearken to that word. They won't hearken to it. They only hearken to the voice of the word that was released to us by God himself, or by the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit in us. Amen.
Amen.
Now let's see how an angel introduced himself to John.
Revelation
22:8-9. Revelation 22:8-9.
And I, John, saw these things.
Yes.
And heard them.
Yes.
And when I had and seen.
When I had heard and seen, yes.
I fell down to worship before them, the feet of the Lord.
Of the
angel.
Now hold on. You remember that it was an angel that was taking John on a tour of heaven. from Revelations 1. So this is now, from Revelations 4. First it was the Lord that appeared to me. Then an angel began to take him around and said, come up hither. Took him to heaven and was showing him things. So you can imagine from Revelations 4 all the mighty and wonderful things that John saw. So he said, oh no, I must thank this angel. I must worship him. So what happened?
Who should make these things?
Yes.
Then said unto me, said thou do it not.
Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. That means don't do it. Don't worship me. Yes?
For I am the fellow servant.
Yes.
And of the brethren.
Yes.
The prophets.
Yes.
And of them which keep the sayings of this book.
Yes.
Worship.
Worship only God. You see? I am your fellow servant. You see? I'm a servant of God like you, John. Like the prophets and all of them, and those that keep the sayings of the word, just a servant like you. Don't worship me. So angels are messengers of God, and which you have seen in this. Now we must never forget that God is a mighty king. He rules over the whole universe. You see all those other planets that they said they haven't been, we want to try and go to this place. God rules over everything, and of course he will make use of myriads, millions and millions of angels as his messengers to rule over his kingdom. And this is, of course, like any earthly king, like the presidents, like, you know, they have many aides, they have us. So, now, he allows them to carry his glory, to carry his power whenever they go, so that they can accomplish their various tasks for him. Amen. And therefore the Bible says in that psalm we read in 102 that they excel in strength. So they carry his power, they carry his awesome part of his glory, so that anywhere they appear, everybody will pay attention to them. Amen.
Amen.
And they go and they carry and they accomplish whatever task he has for them. We're going to look at the different tasks that they do. They need divine strength to be able to do it, more than what we can do. And that is why they assist us. The Bible says they excel in strength. There's one particular angel that killed like 73,000, over 70,000 people in like 3 days. One.
85,000
One. That's in the time of Sennacherib. The one the time of David killed like 70 something. Okay, 170 something. One angel. One angel. So they carry the strength of God. They excel in strength. And the Bible says when he raised his sword at the threshing floor of Arauna, God said, God repented. Because the threshing floor of Arauna is a place that was very special to him. Very special to him, because that vicinity is where Abraham, the place which is called Mount Moriah later. It was the place called Mount Moriah, where Abraham took his son. That's Genesis 22, where he took Isaac to sacrifice him to God. So that place became very, very... and we didn't know. All we knew was that the place somehow belonged to somebody called Arauna. And so, because David saw that God heard his voice and allowed the plague to stay, he now said he must buy the place. And Arauna said, oh no, you can have it. So no, I must not give to God something that does not cost me anything. So he paid for it and then raised an altar there for the Lord. Later we realized that is the place that he now used to build the temple. I mean, to prepare for Solomon to build the temple. And we discovered when you go to Israel, you see that the place of the temple is not far from where Jesus was crucified, Golgotha. It's all on the same mountain. And that's why Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Because on that place, he said, because you did not withhold your son, your only son. In blessing I will bless you, and your descendants shall be a blessing to you. Now, on that mountain, it means that God gave Abraham a revelation of that particular seed that will be a blessing to all nations, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it takes them no time to travel from God's presence. It takes them no time. He said the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That was Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 1:14. He said the living creatures around God, they were just coming. You see? In Daniel chapter 10, there was no record. There was a record of the case of a messenger angel that was delayed for 3 weeks because of a demonic strong man. And Michael, the warrior, had to be sent down to help him. It meant that, and the angel told Daniel, said, from the day that you started fasting, I was sent. That means I should have been here 3 weeks ago. So it takes them no time at all. They are just like flash of lightning and they are there. Ezekiel saw them firsthand. Now they are also called ministering spirits. Ministering spirits. They minister to redeemed man. Redeemed man. Alright? Although there are occasions where they have ministered to somebody who had a covenant, because of the covenant that covered her, and that was Hagar. Because of the covenant of Abraham that covered her, and because of that child Ishmael that came from the line of that came from the loins of Abraham, an angel was sent twice to go and help her when she was wandering in the wilderness. They are sent to assist us and to minister to us, especially when we are in confrontation with forces of darkness and we are traveling in prayer. When we are in confrontation with forces of darkness and traveling in prayer, particularly if we are fasting as well, we're going to look at here. I'm going to say it to you. He said they are also called ministering spirits, and they are sent to assist us, redeemed man, sons of God, and to minister to us, especially when we are in confrontation with forces of darkness and we are traveling in prayer, particularly if we are fasting as well. The time of fasting is the time of angelic ministration. When you are in confrontation with forces of darkness, traveling in prayer, particularly if we are fasting as well. So you open, Mama, open Daniel 10 down. He said, but I will read Hebrews 1:14. He said, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? And we shall see how they minister to the Lord Jesus. That's how we know. He is our model. That's how we know how they are supposed to minister to us as well. So Hebrews 1:14 says that they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. That is redeemed man. Those who have given their lives to Christ. So Daniel 10, let's hear it. 2 to 10. I'll cut off some of this.
Daniel 2 to 10.
Yes.
in those days, I done it was
morning
to 3
full weeks. Okay, stop there, then go to 5. Now morning is another way of talking about fasting. All right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then I lifted up my eyes.
Yes.
And looked, and mm-hmm. behold, a certain man clothed in linen.
Yes.
Whose loins were
girded
with fine gold of
Ophaz. Okay, so he was fasting for 3 weeks. All right, 3 full weeks. And at the end of 3 full weeks, an angel was sent. He just lifted up his eyes, saw the angel. Yes, 8. Please go to 8.
Therefore, mm-hmm. I was left alone mm-hmm. and saw this great vision.
Mm-hmm.
And there remained no strength in me mm-hmm. for my complainant.
Unto corruption.
Was turned.
My comeliness.
In me into corruption.
Okay.
And I
retain no strength. Okay, those that were with him, immediately they saw the king, they ran away and left him alone. So he himself was now, he now fell on his hands and feet. He didn't know what to do. So what then happened? 10.
And behold, and hands touched me,
yes,
which set me upon my feet and upon the palms of
my hands. Okay, so in fact he fell down completely, and the angel now touched him and set him upon his palms and yes. Okay, so there we find somebody who was fasting and an angel was sent. All right, there's another place. As I said, the Lord Jesus, our example, Matthew 4:11. After his temptation in the wilderness. Now, the Lord went to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, but he went there fasting. Therefore, he went there fasting. That is why when God tells us there's problem in front, we begin to fast. We don't wait. Christ is our example. So after the devil has tempted him, giving him turn bread to stone and jump down from the, okay, bow down and worship me. And the Lord has countered him with scriptures. That's what you do when you are fasting. You read a lot of scriptures. God gives us a lot of scriptures which we take as rhema for the temptation. That is what will get us out of it. We turn it into prayer. So the Bible says in Matthew 4:11 that then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So angels come to minister to us when we are fasting. Then when we are being faced, Luke 22, when we are being faced with dark forces, like when he needed again, like when he needed to go to the cross, he told them, he said, this is the hour of temptation, it's the hour of darkness. So what happened? 41-44.
And he was returned from them about the souls that and kneel down mm-hmm. and pray.
Yes.
Saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, not my will, for thine be done.
Amen. Yes.
And
43.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven,
mm-hmm.
strengthening him.
Yes. 44.
And being in an agony, he prayed more energy.
Yes.
And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground.
Amen. So it was a time of great pain, a time of great agony, agonizing in prayer for the Lord, because he has to face his destiny that he came for, and that was his passion. They call it the passion, his death, the suffering death. He knows the kind of agony he was going to face, And this place shows us that he was truly man. Even though he was completely God, but he was truly, he came as a man. He felt our fears and our pains, our agony. And the Bible says that the more he prayed, the angels came and strengthened him, and the more he prayed more. He had to pray to, you know, they say you have to pray up. That means you have to pray enough. So when he became in agony and he was tired, an angel came and strengthened him so that he can pray more. These are the things that angels do for us, but we don't know. We may or may not see them in revelations, but these are the things that they do for us. They strengthen us when we have to pray and war, and they, until we have, you know, to make us pray enough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there are different types of angels. The various types of angels. They perform different functions, and they, because of that, they look different from each other. Yes. The various types of angels. That's the next title. Now, there are different types of angels, and they perform different functions, and for that reason, they look different from each other. Some are very big, some are just like ordinary human beings. But I can imagine that sometimes they can change and look, actually look different, depending on what God asks them to do. Number one type of angels. Guardian angels. Number one, guardian angels. I'll give it to you later. We're recording, please. Each person has a guardian angel. Okay, let me quickly repeat it. I said there are different types of angels, and they perform different functions, and therefore they look different from each other. That's all you need to write now. They perform different functions and they look different from each other. Now, each person has a guardian angel, all right, assigned to be with him or her at all times and to lead him or her in the path of righteousness. They are to lead us in the path of righteousness. People who see in the spirit will see that the angel is just there. You know, just behind you, to your side, and behind you is leading you. It may not talk to you. Angels hardly use their mouth to talk. They communicate with you in their hearts. Yes. So your angel is there while the demon is tempting one on one side. Your angel is there, and that's why sometimes you hear conflicting messages. Now, according to the teachings of the Bible, a person's angel looks like him or her. According to, we'll look at them in a minute. A person's angel looks like him or looks like her. And this is the reason why we know that there are women angels. Because a woman's angel will take the form of that woman. And therefore, don't think that every spirit you see that is a woman in the, oh, must be a demon, must be a witch. No. They are female angels because they look like that person. If somebody is praying for you and interceding for you, the angel of that person may go to minister to you. That's why people will see their pastor. Oh, I was praying, I was in trouble in that dream, and my pastor came and he helped me. No, it's not your pastor, it's his angel. He's quietly sleeping in his house or interceding for you. Amen. Now, Jesus taught us this, and also in the book of Acts, they talked about it. He said in Matthew 18:10, he said, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So that's why we know that everybody has a guardian angel. He was talking about children. Children have angels. Everyone has an angel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, as well in Acts 12, when Peter had been miraculously freed from prison by an angel, and he came to the door of the house where the saints were praying for him, they did not believe it was him. When Rhoda went to tell them, he said, "Peter is at the door, Peter is at the..." They said, "No." He said, "But Peter is there." Then they said, "Oh, it is his angel." Because they could not see how he could escape from 16 Roman soldiers, a quaternium of angels, of soldiers that were guiding him. They didn't see how he, and in the inner prison. So they said, "No." Acts 12:15, they said, "No, it's his angel." So that tells us that somebody's angel looks like him. And in those days, people were never surprised at angelic appearances. It's only these days, because there's too much sin in the world, you know. Amen. Number two. Messenger angels. The angels who take messages from God to man. And examples abound in scripture. And as I said, in biblical times, people are quite familiar with angelic appearances in biblical times. So you have Abraham in Genesis 18, Lot in Genesis 19. Okay, let me... Genesis 18, where three angels came to tell him he's going to have that child. Finally going to have that child. Isaac. So he wasn't surprised. He was ready to entertain them immediately. The same thing, Lot, in Genesis 19. He was ready to entertain the angels that were sent to him. He saw them in the street and said, "Oh no, please come in. Ah, this is Sodom. Beautiful men cannot be walking the streets. These people are evil people. They can attack you in any way." So he brought them into his house. Jacob in Genesis 28 and Genesis 32. Jacob in Genesis 28, I think that's the place where the heavens opened. I saw a ladder and angels were ascending and descending, and God was standing at the top of the ladder. In Genesis 32 is at Peniel. At Peniel, where he wrestled with the angel all night. Now the parents of Samson were visited by an angel before they had him. Judges 14. They were not surprised. They were a bit in awe of him, a bit afraid, but they were not. It was not strange to them. Judges 14. The father of John the Baptist in Luke 1. Father of John the Baptist, he was in the inner most holy place and an angel appeared unto him. And that's where they fear angels. Because he didn't believe him, the angel gave him a punishment. He said, "From now on you will not talk until the baby is born." Because if he talks too much, the woman that is bearing the baby, you know, his own unbelieving talk would affect her. And that's why they fear angels, because they know that they are also allowed to punish. Yes. So when people see angels, they quake in those days. The earthly parents of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, they had messages from God. Matthew 1 and Luke 1. An angel went to Mary, told her she's going to have the baby by the Holy Spirit. She was still betrothed to him. They had not got married, and therefore they had not come together as man and wife. So she said, how can this be? But if you say so, be it unto me according to thy word. Then an angel was sent to Joseph. When he found that his wife was not pregnant, his wife-to-be was pregnant. So an angel had to be sent to him, because that's the only way he's going to believe that this is what happened. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Now they still bring messages to us from God till today. Though we might not recognize them as angels, because they may look like ordinary man, an ordinary man or ordinary woman. We may be sitting by one in the church. So we have to be careful. And that's why we are giving that serious warning in Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You see, if angels look different from us, you will not know. I mean, when they materialize physically, you will, if they look different and they are always shining, then you will know that these are angels. But they are telling us now that it's not always that they look like what we think angels should look like. For instance, we believe angels should have wings. They don't always show their wings unless they want to do something, want to cover, or they want to fly or something like that. They don't even fly like that. They just move. You see. Now, if Abraham and Manoah did not entertain those angels of God, we do not know whether they will ever have those children. If Lot had ignored the angels sent to rescue him and his family, he would have perished with the others in Sodom. If Lot ignored the angels sent to rescue him and his family, they would all have perished with the others in Sodom. And this is a good reason why we must always ask the Holy Spirit to give us the gift of discernment, to enable us to discern between spirits, to know whether it's a demon or an angel. As well, it is a good thing for us to have a policy to always be hospitable and good to others, especially strangers. We must always have a policy of being always good and hospitable to others, especially strangers. Amen.
Amen.
Number three, choir angels, angelic choirs. Angelic choirs, the different groups of choirs, according to the book of Revelation, they sing songs, their songs here and there, worshiping God, blessing Him. And those who have the gift of the prophetic may be transported into their midst to hear those songs. Or an angel may be sent down to give a known song or a hymn to use in battle. You just see that a song is just in your heart, you know, and you begin to sing it. That song will give you a message. Like this morning, I woke up with, to God be the glory, great things He has done. And you know, we've been praying for Nigeria. So it means that He's telling us that in the spirit, God has done great things. It's just that we haven't seen it. And God may give us a totally new song. He may give you a totally new song. New songs are brought by these choirs. It's either God takes us up, and you're in the midst and you're hearing the songs, and you wake up hearing that song. Or they may come down and teach somebody a song. Those songs may bring messages, as I say, may bring a message from God to comfort us, to exhort us, but sometimes to be used as a weapon of war. Like the one Jehoshaphat was given in 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and 22. And this provoked God to go before his army to smite the enemies. Before the Israeli armies even got to the battlefield. Amen. The song may be to use as a weapon of war, like the one Jehoshaphat was given in 2 Chronicles 20, 21 and 22. Praise the Lord, for he is good, his mercy endures forever. And you know that song has been used in different ways. It's even in the Bible. Even in the Psalms. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. That is the one that he gave Jehoshaphat that day. And it provoked God to go before his army to smite the enemies before the army got there. Because you know, they said, put the choir in front. And then the priests. So before the army got there, God has sent ambushments. God was so pleased that he ambushed the four kingdoms that came against him, and he made them to kill themselves. So all that happened was that the Israeli army came to gather the loot. Amen.
Amen.
Because in those days, they go raiding, you know. They don't just come and fight one battle and go, no. They will be fighting from Lagos, they will attack them in Ekpe, Sagamu, Jebu Oje, and they are still coming to Abeokuta. So what will happen is that as they are raiding, as they are conquering, they're gathering loot. So by the time they got to Jehoshaphat, by the time they got to Judah, there was plenty to loot. Even sometimes their armor is sometimes made of, they'll put precious stones and gold and all sorts of things. So all that Jehoshaphat looted, and his the children of Israel looted them. Amen.
Amen.
Number four. There are territorial angels. Mama, please open Daniel 4 down. There are territorial angels. And they are in charge of nations, in charge of cities, in charge of neighborhoods, in charge of churches, and in charge of families. We must never imagine that it is only demonic strong men that are in charge of families. We have angels that are in charge of families. We're going to see that in territorial angels. In charge of nations, cities, neighborhoods, like Ladarin will have his own. In charge of churches and families. And they are sometimes called watchers. I think in the book of Daniel, we are called watchers. Daniel 4:13. 13. What does he say?
I saw in the vision of my head upon my bed,
mm-hmm.
and behold, a watcher mm-hmm. and holy one
mm-hmm.
came down from heaven.
Yes, it's enough there. He came down from heaven and made a decree. Daniel 4:13. You see, he was on his bed, but he saw a watcher come from heaven. You know, he said a watcher, and he immediately qualified him, said he's an holy one. So he's a holy angel. It's a holy angel. Revelations 2:1. I read it. He said, unto the angel of the church at Ephesus, write. This is from the mouth of the Lord Jesus himself. That there are angels in charge of churches. I don't mean the Lord is not talking about the church assembly. You understand? He's not talking about the church assembly. The church, born again church in Abeokuta, there will be an angel in charge of them. Now, some people say the angel of the church that he's talking about is the pastor of the church. I don't know. I don't know about that. He would have said, there's nothing, why he wouldn't say, pastors are usually referred to as elders in those days. He would have said the elder of the church. Number five. There are angels of the throne. Angels of the throne. They minister to God continuously and move around with him and his throne. So, when John saw the throne in heaven, before John saw the throne in heaven, as recorded in the book of Revelation, Ezekiel has seen God. He has seen the throne and some funny creatures. You see, Ezekiel 2, chapter 2, and Ezekiel chapter 10. Alright? And Isaiah had seen them in Isaiah 6, chapter 6. You see, when he saw the throne of God, and he saw different kinds of angels there. Saw some cherubim, some seraphims. You see, they go with him wherever the throne goes. Now let's look at some of them. Mama, you can read Revelation 7. Open Revelation 7 for us. While I read Isaiah 6. Please help me to tell them that they cannot talk. We're recording. We talk quietly. We should talk quietly. Now, so Isaiah has seen them, Ezekiel had seen them. Funny enough, Moses didn't see them. I wonder why. But Moses, of course, had encounters with angels, so it was nothing strange to him. So in Isaiah 6, 1 to 3, there's a description of the throne of God and what Isaiah saw. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. That Lord is small O-R-D, capital L and small O-R-D. That means it is not God himself, it is Adonai. Isaiah 6, 1 to 3, I'm reading. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Capital L, then small O-R-D. That is Adonai. That's Jesus. Because in John 1, the Bible says nobody has ever seen God before. You can't see him. All these pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ is what they called, oh, we saw God, I saw God. No. You can't see God. God himself told Moses, as close as they were, he told Moses, oh, you can't see me or I'm survived. It's not possible. And people were aware that they could not see God and survive. You know, the parents of Manoah said it. Say, oh, we have seen God. Oh, no. Now, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. That means, that does not mean that God was not there that day that Isaiah saw the Lord. But the form, the person he actually saw was the Lord Jesus. God is never separated from Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Let's face it. The Holy Spirit is represented by the fire. It's always by the on the throne and the lamps. So they are never really separated. So he said, I saw also. That means as a prophet, he has seen many things, but this time he saw the Lord. He said, and his train filled the temple. That's his glory. That's the one he told Moses. He said, you cannot see my face and live. What I'll do is that I'll put you in the cleft of a rock, then I'll pass by and I'll cover you and you can see. It was just the train that Moses saw. The glory trailing after him. Now he said, verse 2, he said, above it stood the seraphims, and each one had six wings. And with twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So he saw angels whom he called seraphims. Seraphims means the burning one. The burning one. They are angels that could come near the fire of God because they themselves are flame. They are like lightning. And one cried to the other, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So these are ministering angels. They minister to God. They say things to him. They minister to him. They are seraphims. They have six wings. Now, the whole earth is full of his glory. Now then, what did you open, Mama? Revelations 7. What does it say? 11.
And all the angels stood round about the throne.
Yes. So there are angels that stood round about the throne. Yes.
And about the elders.
So there were elders.
And the four beasts.
And the four beasts.
And said before the throne.
And worship God. Okay, so all those angels are around the throne of God. Their work is to worship God. Their throne, their own is to worship God. Amen. Their own is to worship God, minister to him, worship him, make him feel good because of the evil that is happening in the so that he doesn't think about the evil that is happening in the earth. They make him feel good. Now there are those that they call the four beasts because they look very odd indeed. We're going to look at them in a minute. The four beasts, they have eyes, they have four faces. One face like an ox, the other face like a man, one like a calf, the other face like a lion. That's why they call them beasts. Ezekiel saw them too. That's why I say angels look different from each other. They are different from the seraphims that have wings. These other choir angels, they did not tell us. They did not tell us that they had wings. They did not show their wings. But these other ones, the seraphim, they're flying all the time around God. I'm praising him and worshiping him, adoring him. Now Ezekiel 10, you know, I said that in Ezekiel 10 as well. He said, I looked and behold in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims. So he now talked that there were another set of angels called cherubims. Cherubims basically look like man, but they may also be the ones that have face of a man, face of an ox, face of an eagle, face of, and they have wings that have eyes. So angels look very odd indeed, but the ones that look the most strange are the ones that are around God. Amen. So he said, above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over above them like a sapphire stone, as the appearance and the likeness of a throne. So these are angels that are around the throne of God. Ezekiel 10:1-6. Then there are patrol angels. There are patrol angels. Some are on foot, some ride on horses, some are in chariots. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to read this because it's quite long. I read all these things. Zechariah 1 talks about the angels, some on foot, some are on horses. Zechariah 1, 8 to 11. He said, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were red horses speckled and white. And he said unto me, what are these? Now Zechariah was another prophet that was being taken around by and shown things by an angel. So he was asking the angel that, who are these ones? And the angel that talked with me said, I will show thee what these be. The man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord has sent to walk through to and fro through the earth. That's how we know they are patrol angels. And he answered the angel, because the angel of your of a neighborhood will just hang around the neighborhood. I've seen some of them, they're so tall, they can see the whole of Ladin. Doesn't have to be patrolling Ladin. I saw one is sitting on a horse as tall as that water tank. So you can see everywhere. When we first moved here and the place was very, only a few houses here. And you know the place was very lonely. That was when I first saw that one. I said, don't worry. There's an angel, patrol angel on a horse. You see, on a horse. I could see everywhere. Could see the whole estate. It wasn't moving around. It was just there on that field. Could see everywhere. But these ones, there are patrol angels that are sent to walk to and fro through the earth. That angel I saw was our what did we call them? The neighborhood angel. Alright, that's our watcher. That's our watcher. Alright? But there are angels that are also sent. Our territorial angel. Our neighborhood angel. Now there are those that are also sent to patrol. Alright? So it says these are sent to walk to and fro through the earth. Then answered the angel of the Lord. You see, they call them the angel of Jehovah. L-O-R-D in capitals. That stood among the myrtle trees. And he said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Amen. So he said that the whole earth is at rest. The whole earth is never at rest. So if we didn't have these angels, we wouldn't even have peace at all. That's what we are learning from here. If we did not have these angels, we would not have peace at all. Blessed be God. Now Zechariah 6:1-7 talks about angels that are in chariots. These are patrol angels as well. Zechariah 6:1-7. He said, and I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked. Behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass. That tells you that these are mountains on earth. He's not talking about what he saw in heaven. And the angel answered and said unto me, these are the four spirits of the heaven. They go, these are the four spirits of the heavens, which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth. So God sends them out. He said there are black, there are different horses. The horses have different colors. Verse 6, he said, the black horses which are therein go forth to the north country, and the whites go forth after them. Did you hear that? Two sets of horses were sent to the north. Every nation, there's always trouble in the north. Check it. In every nation, there's always trouble in the north. And it's because of the spirit of Baal that wants to rule in the north of every nation. North Sudan, South Sudan, Nigeria, North Nigeria, South Nigeria. There's always trouble in the north. So black horses go, white horses go after them. Then the speckled horses go towards the south country. You see? So two sets of horses to the north, two sets of chariots to the north, one set of chariots to the south. Then another set, verse 7, the bay colored horses went forth to walk to and fro throughout the earth. Do you get it? One set, there are four sets of chariots. Two are sent to the north, one to the south, then another one to just patrol everywhere. And he said, so they walk to and fro through the earth. The rest of it is that the angel said, thank God. Those angels that went to the north have quieted the spirit in the north. Imagine that. They needed two swords. I think we need to pray here that God should send the chariot angels. That's what we need now for the elections. Angels on horses, angels on chariots, and that they must report to God every night. That, Nigeria is lying, is sitting still, and is at rest. They must report to God that, the chariots must report to God that, in the north country, the spirit of Baal has been quieting down in the north. Father, we thank you, bless you, for your angels, patrol angels that are on horses, patrol angels that are on chariots. Lord, we are asking that you release these angels into Nigeria now because of the elections in 2 days' time. Release them, oh God. Concerning the elections, we ask you, we need these angels. And let them quieten down every spirit of hooliganism, every spirit of rebellion that want to cause trouble in this nation. Let them calm them down. Calm those spirits down. And let the angels report to God every night that Nigeria is lying still and is at rest. In the name of Jesus, we decree that there will be no violence during the elections. There will be no violence before the elections. There will be no violence after the elections. Because your angels will quieten the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of violence, will be calmed by your angels. Release them to us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mama, please open Exodus 14. Exodus 14. Now, seven. The seven set of angels are engineer angels. Yes, they're engineer angels. They're engineer angels. There are two places where we saw them. We'll show you them in a minute. Now, there are those who removed the chariot wheels of Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea so that they began to drive. They could no longer speed. The chariots had fallen off and they could no longer pursue after the children of Israel. Then there are the carpenter angels who are sent to break off the horns of the Gentiles that want to scatter us and prevent us from having our breakthrough, and also want to scatter us from having our breakthroughs. So Mama, please read Exodus 14, 24 and 25.
And it came to pass,
yes,
that in the morning watch,
yes,
the Lord looked unto the roof of the visions,
yes,
through the pillar of fire
mm-hmm.
and of the cloud,
yes,
and troubled the host of the
Egyptians,
Egyptians,
yes,
and took off their chariots,
chariot wheels, mm-hmm.
that they drew, that they drove,
drave them,
that they drove them
heavily.
Heavily.
Amen. So that's enough. Uh-huh. So that
the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel,
mm-hmm.
for the Lord fighted
for them. Yes.
The
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the angels, God looked through. God, the Lord, that is Jehovah, the man of war. Of course, he will come, Exodus 14, 24 and 25. So of course, they will come, he will come with his host. You see? And so when he was looking through the through the pillar of fire and cloud, he now told the angels, oh yeah, go and remove the chariot wheels. Because the children of Israel were still running in the open where the Red Sea had opened. If they did not remove their chariot wheels, they catch up with them. So the engineer angels went and removed the chariot wheels. Amen.
Amen.
Now I will read the second scripture, Zechariah 1, from 19 to 21. They saw four horns. They saw horns, they saw carpenters, you know, and say, ah, he said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah and Israel and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four carpenters. Then said I, what have these come to do? And the angel that was showing him around said, these are the horns that have scattered Judah so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come to fray them and to cast out the horns of the Gentiles, which lifted up their horn over the land of Judah to scatter it. So they are carpenter angels. Those are the engineers. Number eight. Set of angels. Type of angels. The angels in charge of healing. In charge of healing. Mama, John 5. Angels in charge of healing. Like the one that used to stir the pool at Bethesda. Remember? Go and stir the pool. And bring the anointing for healing into the pool. So that anybody that gets in there first will be healed. Amen. John 5, 2 to 4.
Now there is at Jerusalem,
yes,
by the sheep market,
yes,
a pool which is called the Hebrew tongue
Bethesda. Mm-hmm. Having five porches. Mm-hmm.
In this laid a great multitude, mm-hmm. of
impotent folk. That means they
blind,
mm-hmm.
have
halt,
withered, waiting for the
moving
of the water.
Good.
For
yes.
an angel
mm-hmm.
went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever then first after the troubling of
the water,
water
yes.
stepped in was made whole. Of whatsoever
disease that he had, he'll be made whole. Because they brought the healing power, they came with the healing power of God from heaven. They came with the healing power of God for healing. And that's his own work. Yes. Now, I saw on a trip to heaven these angels working. You know, they were sitting down with pictures of sick people on their laps, and they were like in a place like a warehouse, and there were replacement organs everywhere. So they were looking at the like an album, sick people, and they were choosing the replacement organs for the people that were sick. So that's not the only way. So they don't always. It's not always by moving of the water. When you are sick, you will see angels will come and touch you. Angels will come and touch you, and you will know, and you'll be healed. I told you before that angels sprinkled water on my hand, and I was immediately healed. Now, of course, they don't necessarily, they may just, those ones may be ministering angels, but because they carry the power of God, of course, if they sprinkle water on you, they will heal, you'll be healed. And this is, and to buttress that point, is in the, all the parents that God sent angels to them, that they will have a child, they became instantly healed of their barrenness. They immediately became healed. Like Abraham in Genesis 18, Manoah and his wife in Judges 13, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke chapter 1. Immediately, their wives became immediately pregnant. So these also are angels of healing. Or we can say, okay, they carry a portion of the power of God for healing. Number 9. Now, there are also angels that, they are the ones that wield all manner of spiritual weapons. When we are praying, when we are resting in prayer, they wield all manner of spiritual weapons. Thunder, lightning, earthquake, the angels are in charge. Angels are in charge. That's why it is important to know as many of these spiritual weapons mentioned in scripture, so that we use them to pray. Once we use them to pray, that's why I always make sure we read scriptures. Did you see that? I always make sure that we read the word of God. You see? They are in charge of holding those weapons and using them to war for us. The Bible says that. So when we quote those scriptures and use them to pray, the angels have heard. So we always quote the scripture before we use it to pray, so that the angels will stand at attention, and as we're praying, using them to pray, they will know the particular place that I want them to go. And they go and do the bidding of that word. The bidding of the word. And that word is the one that was released to us by the Holy Spirit. That's why God can say in Isaiah 55 that, look, once I send down my word, before you return it in prayer, it has accomplished what it's going to accomplish. Why? Because the angels have heard. And they've started working on it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Psalm 103:20 said this. He said, the angels that excel in strength do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. That's why some people think they can command angels. You can't command them. They're hearkening to the voice of the word of God that you are quoting. Hallelujah. 10. You see, there are different types of fourth type of angels. The tenth type of angels. And we have not finished. There are angels that control the elements. The elements. The elements are water, fire, wind, and something else. And water. The angels that control them. How do we know? They're in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation. Now, the fire and cloud, there's the angel of fire. Revelation 14:18. I'm going to read it. He said, and an angel came out from the altar, which had power over fire. So I'm sure that's the angel that God released on Mount Carmel to Elijah. When Baal thought, yes, today we will breathe fire. After all, we are Ogun worshippers. Today we used to bring down fire. We shall bring down fire today. But an angel was there, and he had power over fire. So he just restrained their own fire. That's all. And when Elijah prayed his own prayer, he allowed the fire to fall. There's the angel of the fire and cloud in the wilderness. You see? It's different from the angel of the fire. The fire and cloud, it does different things. That pillar of fire and cloud that God brought at the edge of the Red Sea. The Bible puts it this way. Then let me just tell you where it is. Exodus 14, 19, 20, and 24. Exodus 14, verses 19, 20, and 24. It says, the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel. So God brought an angel of God. And at that time, we were not sure who he is. He said, he removed and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood before them. So we now know that angel, okay, is a pillar of cloud. Now it now stood between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and there was something strange about him. And it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians, but it gave light to the Israelites. So that none came not near each other all night. So here we know that it's a cloud. But in verse 24, it was completely exposed to us what this angel was. He said, and it came to pass in the morning watch that God looked unto the host of Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud. So it was both fire and cloud. And this angel followed them throughout in the wilderness. We heard about him in different places in the wilderness, that he will be a cloud over them to cover them during the day. If you know the wilderness of Israel and Egypt, it's just parched land. There's no tree. There are no trees there. So there's no way that somebody is going to walk through that wilderness. They will just be roasted during the day. They'll be roasted in the sun. It's hotter. It's as hot as Africa. I mean, it's part of Africa. Egypt, Sinai, and all those places are part of Africa. Even Israel itself is connected to Africa. And so the pillar of cloud will spread over them during the day. And they will pitch their tents under it. And they will be cool. And at night, it will become a pillar of fire that will stand in one place around them, frightening wild animals, terrifying even the nations that are around. Say, what manner of people are these? What kind of fire is this? And keeping them safe. That cloud also was their guidance, was their, it was the one that led them through. It's the one that will show them where to pitch their tent next. It's the one that will show them it's time to go and where to go. Now God would have told Moses, okay, we're moving. And then you see that the cloud has started moving. Then he will rise, he will stand and say, rise up, Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. So the cloud will rise up into the air. That's why he says, arise, O God, let your enemies be scattered. Because immediately God tells him we are moving, he will go to the front of the tabernacle and make that proclamation. And the cloud will arise and begin to move. So they will now begin to pack up everything. Oh yeah, let's go. They will now go until it will stop. And when it stops, he will make another declaration. Return, O Lord, unto the many armies of Israel, or something like that. So his presence will now, they will now set up the tabernacle, and that presence of God will go and sit in the on top of the presence of God will now sit on the mercy seat, which is inside in the tabernacle. Now that cloud comes up from the mercy seat up and then spread over them like an umbrella. That's why he will say, return, O Lord. So come down and just sit on the mercy seat and cover us. We have come to the place where we are going to stay. In the night it will become a pillar of fire. It will give light to them, terrify their enemies. And that pillar of fire and cloud is still available today. Me, I ask for the pillar of fire and cloud all the time. Every morning, cover me, surround me and my children, my loved ones. Surround this estate. Surround everywhere we are. I pray every day for schools because my heart breaks to hear that about shootings in schools in the U.S., kidnapping in Nigeria. So I began to, the Lord showed me that you can ask for pillar of fire and cloud for every school worldwide. And since I started praying that prayer, that thing stopped. It went down. Let it be darkness to the kidnappers, the shooters, the stabbers. In Japan, they have a problem. Some madman will just enter a nursery school and begin to stab. No, their own is not gone. It's knife. Start stabbing children anyhow. Babies anyhow. The last one that happened, they killed like 20-something children and a teacher. In the U.S., it's gone. They just go and start shooting children. Since I started praying that prayer that God gave me, please surround them with your pillar of fire and cloud. Let it be darkness to the attackers outside. And let it be light to the children inside. So that any evil that is even happening in the schools, now we started hearing about all sorts of evil happening in schools, especially in Nigeria. Any evil happening there, teachers raping children, all sorts of children, the latest one, the children running, climbing, you know, at night when everybody is sleeping, they will climb the walls and go to a nightclub and dance and drink till morning, then they will climb in. Suddenly, the story busted. They've been doing it for a long time. Suddenly, that's the kind of thing that kind of prayer will do. Let it be light inside to the children inside, so that nothing will be hidden that is happening inside. Nothing evil will be hidden. Amen. Whatsoever God does, it is forever. What he has done before, forever. Now there's the angel of the waters. Angel of the waters. Mama, please open this Revelation 7. I will read about the angel of the waters in Revelation 6:16-5. You are opening Revelation 7. Revelation 16:5 talks about the angel of the waters. It said, I heard the angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because thou hast judged thus. That was the time that the angel with the bowl of wrath against the waters poured the bowl of wrath on the waters, and all the animals died. Then there is the angel of the wind, Revelation 7:1. Yes.
And after these things,
yes,
I saw four angels.
Yes.
Standing on the four corners of the earth.
Yes.
Holding the four winds of the earth.
Yes.
That the wind should not blow
on the earth,
on the earth, mm-hmm, nor on the sea, nor on
Amen. Hallelujah. So the angels of the wind are there to control contrary winds. You see, there are all sorts of things that winds do. Remember that it was the east wind that blew the locusts into the Red Sea at the time of the plagues. Aha. So we can use these things to pray. I've seen many times that they were trying to invade Nigeria from the air. Yes, you see bees. I saw bees trying to enter. They were trying to invade from the earth. Soldier ants would come up and start going in different directions, and so on and so on. So this kind of thing is what, when you need that kind of prayer. Lord, tell the angels of the wind to blow those bees into the Red Sea of their own making. So let God make Red Sea for them and pour it. And you see them blow. As many as they are, they were all blown into the sea. So there are angels that do all these things, and we must make use of them. Amen. 11. There are angels of God's wrath and judgment. Angels of God's wrath and judgment. 16:1. We are in Revelations already. 16. So the angels that carry the anger of God, those are the only kind of angels that a redeemed Christian may be a bit in awe of, because they are very the way they behave. They even look at you and you. Do you preach? Yes, I do. Do you evangelize and bring people into the church? Yes, I do. I do. He's passing by, you be checking so that I will know whether to deal with you or not. Yes?
They shall anger no more.
No. Revelation 16:1. There are many of these ones. Yes?
And I heard a great wind out of the... And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying, saying to the seven angels,
yes,
go your ways and pour out the
vials
yes. of the wrath of God upon,
yes.
the earth.
Upon the earth. So there are seven angels, are particular angels of God's wrath. Maybe they are going to come out forth in the last days, I don't know. But they came up because the seals were opened, and they come up on the seventh seal, they came out. Now, so, the angels that carry the anger of God, there must be angels that carry the anger of God even now. The angels, they call angels of pestilence, they say, oh, there was an angel of the plague. Like the one of the 2 Samuel 4:15-16. Let me read it. And the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from morning even to the time appointed. And there died the people from Dan even to Beersheba, 70,000 men. And when the angel stretched forth, so here is when we know that it's an angel. All we had first heard is that it was a pestilence that was killing the people. But verse 16 says, and when the angel stretched out the hand upon Jerusalem to destroy it, and the Lord repented him of the evil and said to the angel that destroyed the people, it is enough, stay thy hand. And they found that the angel was at the threshing floor of Arauna, because that was the place where Abraham gave his son to God. It was a place of remembrance, a place of covenant. It was an altar, an everlasting altar, raised to Jehovah Jireh, who then provided a ram to replace Isaac. Aha. That place must not be destroyed, because why? The real lamb of God, the Passover lamb, was still coming like 2,000 years later to be slain on that same mountain. where the threshing floor of Arana is. And that's why God repented. Why? Because he remembered the covenant. Second Samuel 24:15-16. Of course, there was also we know there are other places where God sent angels of wrath, angels of judgment, like the angel that was killing the children of Israel. They call him the plague, but he's an angel. Were those ones that said, is it only you and Moses that God spoke to? And God said, go and bring your rod. And so on. All those kind of land, the place where they were complaining, and God will send a plague into their midst. Is an angel that did it. 12. We're still talking the 12 types of angels. There are angel reapers of the harvest, both of souls and of the works of our hands. Angel reapers of the harvest. They reap souls, they harvest souls, and they harvest for us the works of our hands. Let's first read Matthew 13. Okay, you are in Revelation already. Okay, Revelation 14. Let's go to 14, verse 15. Yes, 15.
And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the
cloud. So there was another angel that sat on the cloud that has a sickle in his hand. A sickle is what they used to reap. It's a harvesting instrument. Pastor will know more about that, since he has a farm. So what did he say? So another angel now came out of the temple. Why? Because he's got instruction from God.
And he that sat on the cloud thrashed in the...
No. Crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud. Yes? What did he say? What did he cry? Thrust in thy sickle.
Thrust in thy sickle.
And reap. Okay.
For the time is come. For the Lord to reap. For the harvest.
Of the earth. Is right. Now in this place they were harvesting souls during the tribulation. You see, so that Christians will not suffer too much. Those that give their lives to Christ during the tribulation, those that stood with Christ and refused it, so they will harvest them and take them back up to heaven. And they will, that means basically, they will allow them to die. And because of this, the devil has his own alternative for this. They call him the Grim Reaper. One dark, horrible angel like this that has a sickle in his hand. The angel of death. They call him the Grim Reaper. It's just the same thing that he's trying to do. Now, the Lord Jesus talked about the reaper of the harvest. This is also the harvest of souls. Matthew 13:30-39, I will read. When they said, someone grew, we planted wheat, and the angel went and sowed tares amongst them. Of course, he's talking about human beings. He said, let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles, and burn them. Then gather the wheat into my barn. Verse 39 says, and the reapers are the angels. Amen. And I can imagine that even for the works of our hands, there will be angel reapers who will reap the harvest. I've seen those ones. They go and reap for you your harvest. You see your mission field, and they go and reap your harvest for you. and gather them into sacks. You know? Hallelujah. So these are the types, 12 types of angels, basically. There may be more, but that's what I could find for this kind of teaching. Amen. So a few more facts about angels. Let me see. I think we are almost done. Yes, we're almost done. So a few more facts about angels. Is that number one, for the simple reason that they do different functions. Angels look different from each other. We've already made that point, but we want to go into details now. For the simple reason that they perform different functions, angels look different from each other. And anyway, God likes variety. Why did he make some people black, some people white, some people Chinese, some people... God just likes variety. Because God, we derive our artistic and creative nature from God. Human beings too like variety, like colors, we like things. Now, some of them look very odd, very strange. Especially ministering angels. They look very strange. Some of them look very strange indeed. Especially ministering angels. So we should not expect angels to always be good looking in the way that we regard good looks. You know, human beings, you know, we have our own idea of what good looking should be. So you do not, we do not reduce God to our level and say, oh, but this one is ugly. You know, it's not good looking. God is not like that. Whatsoever the Lord does is beautiful. Now let's look at one scripture. I will read them and quote. Ezekiel 1. That's where we have some angels. When God came down with his throne, we saw the angels that are around him. Ezekiel 1, 5 to 10. Ezekiel 1, 5 to 10. I'm just going to read them in patches. Now, and out of the midst thereof, what Ezekiel saw, he was seeing fire, enfolding on fire, coming down. Fire, fire, cloud, fire. Whoa. So in the midst of that cloud, he saw the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and everyone had four faces. So their bodies, they had a head and bodies like a man. But every one of them had four faces. And everyone had four wings. And their feet were straight feet. That means their feet did not sit on the floor the way our own feet. They were straight. And the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. You know, like a lamb. The way the feet of a lamb is. That's how their feet are. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. Can imagine. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side. They four had the face of an ox on the left side. And they also had the face of an eagle at the back. So man, ox, lion, eagle. You see? So that is why John the Beloved, in the book of Revelation, he called them beasts. That's the King James. Other translation calls them living creatures. Living creatures. Number two, facts about angels. Angels are very sensitive to our spirit. And they shrink from us if we do not have the right spirit before God. We're not in right standing with God, right standing with my fellow man. They know. They shrink from you. And God gave us that warning in Exodus 23, 20 and 21. He said, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way, and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. That means beware. Don't misbehave. Be aware that he is there and behave yourself. He said, obey his voice, provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. So angels carry the authority of God.
Exodus
23:20-21. If we are intolerant, if we are unforgiving, they will just shrink from us. And they can smite. And they can smite too. Like they smote Herod, the blasphemous person. Smote him. Gave him an angelic slap. People have received angelic slap for not only Herod in this world. Angels slap people. Acts 12:23 said, and immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not the glory. Gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Number three fact about angels is that redeemed man is rated as being spiritually higher in rank than angels. For we are adopted sons of God, you see, and members of his household, whereas they are his servants. So redeemed man is rated higher, a higher being than angels. Redeemed man, not every man. That is those that are sons of God. For we are adopted sons of God and members of his household, you see. Now, let's look at this Psalm 8:5. Properly translated in the Revised Standard Version, this is what it says. Psalm 8:5. He said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? For thou hast made him a little less than God, you see, a little less than Elohim. But in King James they said angels. That's why people think we are lower than angels. We are not. Is redeemed, is ordinary man that is a little less than angels, not redeemed man, because we are sons of God. A child of the king, the servant of the king, cannot be rated higher than the son of the king. Amen.
Amen.
Cannot be rated higher than them. So the Revised Standard Version said it well. It said, they properly translated, it said, thou hast made him a little less than Elohim. That is us. So man has always been, because it was translated angels, in King James, man has always had the impression that man is lower than angels. That is man that is not redeemed. Man that is not redeemed is lower than angels. And the Apostle Paul reinforces it of our spiritual hierarchy. He reinforces our spiritual hierarchy in 1 Corinthians 16. He said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? He said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? Even though we shall judge them, that is later, we still need their assistance and cooperation now. And we need to treat them well and give them honor due to servants of God, messengers of God. Amen. But they do not want to be worshipped. They will reject it and point us back to God. We've read some of those scriptures. All we can do is to appreciate our angels. Whenever we see them in Revelations, when we wake up, we thank God. In fact, we have to thank God every day for sending angels to help us. It will make them happy. They also like to, as we are teaching about them, angels are happy. You'll see that you see more of them in the night. From now on, yes, you see them more in the night. Hallelujah. So how do we make full use of angelic cooperation? I think that's the last title. How do we make full use of angelic cooperation? How do we make the angelic assistance? How do we make use, full use of that? How do we tap into this wonderful provision of God and take full advantage of angelic assistance? Number one, you become a friend of God and you must know His word. Become a friend of God. Let me tell you, there are hierarchy among the children of God. And that's why God could punish Miriam, the older sister of Moses, that he himself used to preserve this, his own Moses. Now that Moses is 80 years old, it's Miriam that he used. But she dared speak against him. He also punished Aaron for speaking against him. He smote Miriam with leprosy. And of course, that means she has to go and live outside the camp, outside the estate, like, hey, in the forest. Moses was even begging for it. He said, no. Okay, let her be there for 7 days. Now, what makes a difference between them is that Moses was a friend of God. That's all. Was a friend of God. Now, let me tell you how we become a friend of God. First, we become saved and we become sons of God. So the first thing is, you give your life to Christ, get saved, give your life to Christ, you become a son of God. Paul told us in the book of Galatians that a son that does not grow is lower than angels, is lower than the servants. A son that does not grow, you are still drinking milk when you're eating meat. You are a hare, yes, but you are less than servants. Servants will be taking decisions for you. Who are the servants? Angels in the spirit world. Okay, so a Christian that becomes a Christian that is a son of God, but begins to walk with Christ, walk with God, and learn in the path, and begins to become discipled in church and by God in his private study, you then become a disciple. Alright? So Jesus had followers, those who got saved, those who came to him and followed him around. They were the crowd. In the crowd, he had his disciples. Among the disciples, of course, were the 12 apostles. But he had his disciples. Now, among the disciples, we know that 120, at least he had 120 that were tarrying for the Holy Spirit after he left. Okay, now among those, even among those apostles, you know that there are three that he always take with him. You see? Now, once you become a disciple, he begins to send you on errands. The Bible says one day he sent them. He first sent the 10, then he sent 72. Those are disciples. He sent them out. So, when he begins to send you, you are not just a son, you are not just a disciple, you are now his servant. You are now his servant. And the Bible says in one place that the others did not know what Christ would do, but the servant knew. That's at the Cana wedding. The servant knew that he had asked them to put. The servants knew what he did, that all they did was put water there and he turned it into wine. They drew and wine came out. So the servants begin to know some secrets. You see? He said something about the disciples though. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He said, to them it's not It's not for them to know the deep mysteries of God, but for you, disciples. Disciples know the mysteries of the kingdom. And therefore, he can trust you and send you out as a servant. Then there are some servants, you watch them, you know, profitable servants, they are unprofitable servants. So if you become a profitable servant, he will then make you his friend. He will then make you his friend. That's how you become a friend of God. He said in John 15, he said, now you have become my friends, because I have told you the things that I heard from my Father. I think we need to read it, Mama. Please open it for us. John 15. No, is it John 15? I think it's John 7:15. No, let me have the Bible. Let me open it myself, because I'm reading what I did not put down. You see, all of us think, oh, we become born again. Oh, that's all. You come to church and you dance. And No. It's much, much more than that. It's much, much more than that. You see? Jesus has his friends that he tells things that he will not tell others. Yes, it's John 15. Okay, he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it will be done of you for my Father in heaven. It shall be done unto you. He said, herein my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. So disciples are the ones that bear fruit. He sends them out and they bear fruit. They lead people to Christ. They walk in power. They walk in the power he gave them. They're not wasting it. They're not wasting it. Okay, so 15. He said, then he said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. That's verse 8 of chapter 15 of John. So disciples that bear fruit, wow, they glorify God. Then he said, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, continue ye in my love. So he has a special love for those ones, for his disciples that bear fruit. Then he said something. He said, greater love has no man. He said, this is the commandment that ye have of one another, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And in one place he said, this is how they know you are my disciples, because you love each other. You love the brethren. Now love is not something that you just have in your heart. Something is, love is what you do. It shows in your actions. Then he said, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So he's still talking to disciples. You see, he's still talking to disciples. Then he went down and said, greater love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. Now he's talking about my friends. Then he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That is the person that is a friend of God. What is wrong with this? Whatever he asks you to do and you do it, that is a friend of God. That is a friend of God. Whatsoever he asks you to do, you do it. A friend of God is one who is living a life of sacrifice. He said, Abraham, come. He's 75 years old. He said, come, I'm taking you somewhere. He has a wife. He's a patriarch. He has a father. He has lots to take care of. He said, I'm taking you out of here. Leave your father's house. Leave everything and follow me. And he did. Now, this was a heathen. All right? This was a Babylonian. I mean, he didn't know anything. He didn't even know this God. The God that he serves, he can see them. This one he cannot see. And he followed him. And he immediately became a friend of God. Now, let me see what he said. You are my friend if you do what I command you. Verse 15 is the cocoa. That's the key. He said, henceforth, I call you not servants. You see? So we have sons. We have disciples. We have servants. Suddenly the servant becomes a friend. He said, no, I no longer call you servants. For the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my father, I have made known to you. So a friend of God is one to whom God can trust his secrets. Amen? It's not everything God tells a friend that he will tell others. Like you and I are friends, we're brothers, we're mama and and mommy and grandma and everything, but we are friends. And it's not everything I tell you about myself that you ever tell anybody else. It's not everything you tell me about yourself that I will ever tell anybody else. So the Lord now knows who to trust. You see, some people, because they want to boast, the Lord said to me, and I saw the Lord, and he woke me up in the night and said to me, did he tell you to go and say that on the pulpit? Did he tell you to go on YouTube and be saying these things? Or he told you to hear it and pray? By the time he has trusted us to be his friends, he will be telling us things that he's hearing the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit saying. We will enter into what is called the counsel of the Lord. The Lord will be having a meeting with Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and they will bring you to hear. They will bring you to hear what they are saying. So you have to become a friend of God. We have to become a friend of God. Once we become a friend of God, angels are stimulated when we declare the word of God. They are stimulated to obey us because they can see that God is happy with us. Hallelujah. We carry his divine authority on earth. We carry his divine authority, and angels recognize that. Hallelujah. All that God has, he will make readily available to us. But we must have a working knowledge of the scriptures. That is one thing that will make angels to work for you. We must have a working knowledge of the word of God and memorize as many scriptures as we can. And that is what will make angels to work for you. Because you find that even when you are talking other things, you are quoting, some of your words is linking with scriptures. That gets their attention, and they are ready to work for you. They will move nearer you. Number two. How do we tap into this? How do we make angels to assist us? Number two, we must strive to be in complete obedience to God and his word. We must strive. You see, God knows that we are frail flesh And the Bible says we cannot reach perfection until we see him. But he must see that in our hearts we want to. He knows our hearts, that this is what we want. We want to be in complete obedience to him and his word. Both the written word and the specific revelations that God gives to us as individuals, no matter how ridiculous it seems, no matter how ridiculous it looks, we must be ready to obey God and do what he has asked us to do. In fact, if you don't look ridiculous to God, you haven't started. You haven't become his disciple. Not to talk of becoming friend or servant. He can't send you anywhere if he knows he will not obey him. You just say, leave him, let him be dancing in church and join the choir. I want to teach you songs that when you sing, the dead will raise. But you are happy to just be in the church and be dancing and dressing up. Is that all? He wants people that he can send on errands. Now, look at Joshua. You can imagine the kind of instructions that God gave him. You come into a city that is so fortified that the walls are as wide as this sitting room. They can take 12 horses riding across like this. They can ride on that wall, and it's so high. And all around the wall, there's a big gutter. It's called a moat, a canal. And it has water. And God did not say, okay, set up siege ramps. Okay, do this, do that. No. He said, just go around the city. First day, one time. Second day, one time. Third day, one time. Seventh day, seven times. And let the priests be in front. Priests. But Lord, this is war front. This is war front. What are the priests going to? Let the priests be in front. And he therefore, so that they will not be murmuring against him, he said nobody must utter a word. Nobody must utter a word. So they did everything that he did, that he said. And on the seventh day he said, now stand and blow the trumpet. By the time they have walked around the city, we are not talking about walking around Ladenio, the city. By the time they have walked around it seven times, the seventh day, they are thoroughly tired and worn out. He now says, blow the trumpets. They now blasted the trumpets. And they just saw the walls crumbling. The walls crumbled and fell, crumbled into the moat, the canal that is surrounding them, and filled it up. And that is why they said that the army of Israel walked into it on top of the rubble. They didn't have to climb anything because the rubble has filled up the. I mean, look at God. God is the most. Is the most strategic warrior that you can imagine, because he can see the end from the beginning. He knows the strengths and the weaknesses of everybody. So all that happened was that because of obedience, angels were watching. So on the last day, God has told them, on the last day when they blast the trumpet, just go and push down the walls. Till today, scientists, archaeologists don't know how a city can be bewitched, that can be besieged, and the walls were pushed outwards and not inwards. But the people that besiege you are from outside now. No. To show you that it was not Joshua or his army that had anything to do with it, they were pushed outwards. Why? Because they must fill up the gutter that surrounded the city outside, and therefore they just walked in. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Hey, hey. Hallelujah. Now, look at Jehoshaphat. If he thought it was beneath his dignity as a warrior king to put singers in front of the army. Ah, choir. How? Angels will not go before him and smite the army. The army was too great for him anyway. He went trembling to God now. He went trembling to God. Oh, my father. Oh, no. Did you not give us this land? Are we not the descendants of Abraham, your friend? Did you not? God has to, is the head of an army, a vast army, the army of the universe. Every single army on earth can be under the command of God the day he wants to use them. He uses anything. He uses the wind, he uses the air, he uses rocks, he uses anything. He uses nature to fight his battles. He uses his enemies to fight his battles. And therefore, we as his children in his army, we must know that he is our father. And if he is a commander of an army, commander-in-chief of an army, then we are not civilians. He is not a civilian. We are not civilians. I worked with the army for many years. So I know how important it is for the junior ones to obey. Yes, sir. Go and do this. Yes, sir. Go and do that. Yes, sir. Why? Because the commander knows why he's telling you go there and not there. And if you don't go where he asks you to go, you are going to endanger the whole army. And the whole battle will be lost. We're talking about God and his army, the whole universe. He's in charge of the whole universe. Listen, the whole universe is in a state of war. I hope we know that. It's in a constant state of war. The devil trying to steal God's, to conquer more of God's territories. And so, if we as his children, and his servants, his disciples, if we do not obey him, we can never be his friend. Because we'll be grieving him. We'll be grieving him and making his heart to be heavy. Say, I told this child, go and do this. Because you didn't do that now. That woman, that little woman over there, was not helped. She was not helped. You were to go to Abeokuta, you went to Jebode. Go to Nineveh, you went to Tarshish. People are perishing in Nineveh. And you are the one that I prepared. Am I now going to start preparing somebody else? Do you know how long it takes to prepare you people? You are a stiff-necked people. That's why he said you can only be my friend if you will obey me. Amen. Especially after fasting, during fasting. He gives us strange instructions. Strange instructions. And why did we go to fast? It's because we have tried everything that we can. Abi, we tried everything and it didn't work. So he said, okay, let me add fasting to prayer. And then he tells you, go and do like this. But this one looks strange. Okay. All those things that were not strange to us and we have tried them, did they work? They didn't work. Okay, go and do this one. And we do it and it works. Whatever God asks us to do, so long as it does not violate scripture, we must trust him and do it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then we become his friend. And angels will cooperate with us all the time. I think this is number 3. Angels, if women want angels to cooperate with them, they must cover their heads. They must put a covering on their heads. The Bible did not say cover your hair. Put a covering on your head. So your hair may be showing at the sides or at the back or in front. It doesn't matter. If you want full, if a woman that is praying wants full angelic assistance, she must put a covering on her head. We're told that in scripture. And that is simply because of the angels. It's not because that's what will take you to heaven. It's not because... Now, let me read it for you. For us to is, and it's to enjoy full angelic assistance, which is needed for victory. 1 Corinthians 11, I will read 5 and 10. New King James now. He said, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovers, dishonors her head. For that is one and the same as if her head was shaved. You see, you might as well shave your head. You won't cover it. Dishonors her head. And the Bible, somebody called Abraham the head of Sarah. In Corinthians, he said the husband is the head of the woman. So you dishonoring your head. Who is our head? Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. For this reason, a woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. A symbol of authority that Jesus is her bridegroom. That is the authority over her head. Even if she's married, the husband, Jesus is the head of her husband, so Jesus is still her own head. Amen. And he said it. He said, because of the angels. Amen. Now look at the centurion. That's why he got the attention of Jesus. The centurion in Matthew 8:9. He said, oh no, oh no. You are a great man, Lord Jesus. I didn't mean you should come to my house. Oh no. Stay there and just give the word. Because I too am a man under authority. And I have authority over troops that I command. So he knows how authority works. He knows that Jesus is the head of all principalities and powers. And if he says the word, angels will go and do what he asked them to do. So here he was acknowledging that he too obeyed authority. He's in submission to higher authority. And that is submission to higher authority. Allow the authority of Christ over sickness to flow to him and his household, even at a distance. I'll say it again. He was, as it were, reaping what he has sown. Was reaping what he has sown. I'll say it again. Now, was a man, he said, I'm a man under authority, having troops under me. Alright? So he too was acknowledging that he obeyed authority. He obeyed authority. He knows how authority works. And that was what pleased the Lord Jesus. Because he said, will I find faith? Even among Jews, I haven't found faith like this. So his submission to higher authority allowed the authority of Christ over sickness and disease to work for him and flow to him and his household, even at a distance. So he was simply reaping what he has sown. No, please, just leave the space. Just leave space. I'll give it to you. So there's a debate in the church whether the women should cover their heads or their hair is their covering. Their hair alone is adequate covering for her when he is praying. Then why was it mentioned at all? No, why was it mentioned at all? That we should put a covering over our heads. So God did not know that before he told Paul to go and tell them to cover their heads. 1 Corinthians 11:15. He said, if a woman has long hair, it's a glory for her. For her hair is given for her covering. It's a glory for her. It doesn't work for her with the angels. It doesn't show that she has authority over her head. A married woman in Egypt, Israel, would wear a veil in those days. Would wear a veil so everybody will know she's married. That's all they are trying to tell us. People should know we are brides of Christ. Now, let me tell you, there are servants of God, friends of God, and there are brides of Christ. That's the highest you can be. The bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. Whatever he asks you to do, you do it. You won't even think twice about it. Those are brides of Christ. Even the most ridiculous things, they will do it. Now let me give you an example. The wife of Derek Prince, because Derek Prince is a Bible teacher, his wives always cover their head with a scarf. They are white women with long hair. They cover their heads with a scarf. You see? And for me, as a Yoruba woman, it's very easy for me to do. Because once you are grown up, you wear a covering on your head, you know, to match your attire. But a lot of women who want to look young, they leave their head open and, you know, it's part of just being vain. But the normal thing is that a woman of my age, you can't open your hair and go anywhere. It's not possible. From your 40s up, you start covering your head. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Now, suppose, okay, if my hair is not long and kinky, like Mama's hair, she nice has a nice afro. So it means that she's the only one they say should cover her hair. Because her hair is not long and flowing. God does not give different instructions to white women and black women. Me, I take the Bible literally and absorb the message like a child would. And Jesus told us, unless you are converted and become as a child, can't enter to the kingdom. God is going to tell you to do things and you'll be working it out. Does it mean, they say, oh, the blood of Jesus. Some people say, no, it's not literary blood. That it's a spiritual thing and all that. Okay, sure. So on that cross, he bled spiritual blood, Abby. Or are you saying that it is not possible for his blood to still be available to us today? Then why do we call him God? Even the way he was born was strange. Why do we call him God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's every woman. Say, every woman must cover their heads. Every woman. Now, there's a scripture I always use to tell people, look, it is your choice. 2 Corinthians 10. It's your choice. Alright? You have the choice of wanting to go the whole length with God of what he has prepared for you. I had major battles to fight because I came to Christ at the age of 40 and with a baggage of ancestral baggage that went down to the 19th century king. You know, I'm descended from a king that ruled in the 19th century and all manner of things they do at the throne in Africa. You can't imagine it. I was reading the things that they do, the rituals they do, just the part that the world can hear is online. It's online. We saw it like 2 years ago and while reading it, I could not continue reading. It was horrible. When it was the turn of my cousins to be kings, they said they cannot do it because they will not do all those things. So if you have such a baggage behind you, you are not going to be picking and choosing what you will obey in the word of God. I was ready to obey everything. And then I saw this scripture. Mama, are you there? 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 6. Now, Christians always read it to 5. Then one day, the Lord pointed my attention at verse 6. Because verse 6 is the one that controls everything. It's the one that controls everything. You can't do from 3 to 5 if you do not do 6. You don't obey 6. 3 to 5 will not work for you. So let's read it.
For though we work in the flesh.
Yes.
We do not war after the flesh.
Yes.
For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal.
Yes.
for mighty two girls to be pulling down of strongholds.
You want to pull down strongholds? Yes, go on.
Casting down imagination.
You want to cast down imagination?
And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge
of God. Just hold on. That means anything that is against what God wants in our lives, you want to be able to cast it down? You want the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, mighty weapons through God, you want them to work for you? Do you know what they can do? They can open the Red Sea. You want the Red Sea to open for you? You want the wall of Jericho to fall? You, Red Sea is still opening for us till today. When missionaries are going on missions, God opens the Red Sea. He told me, they opened the Red Sea. If I tell you are traveling, get your suitcase ready. Because I'm telling you, if today he will tell you are going tomorrow. So you can't tell him you haven't bought this, I haven't bought this. Just get your suitcase because he's going to open the Red Sea. That means the minute you step out of your house, everything will cooperate with you. Till you get where you are going. And it, the thing, and it will continue for a few weeks when you get there. Before you go, everything will start cooperating with you like 2 weeks before. Everything will cooperate with you. The minute you start, everyone will cooperate with you. Every enemy will fall before you. Everything at the border post in West Africa, they will even one day I said I was not going to pay a bribe. They opened my luggages, my luggage, my children and I were there. They opened all our suitcases, they scattered everything, and there was a crowd watching. They were around us like this, and none of them could put their hand to steal anything. We were there for like 2 hours. They were uprooting everything because they wanted a bribe, and I said, I'm sorry, I'm a missionary. I can't give a bribe. Nothing happened to us. They now said, they put everything together, we put them back in the box, in this bus. Do you know everybody stood and they were looking at us? Because I'm sure they did not know what restrained them from stealing all those good things they saw in our boxes. You want all God to work for you like that? You must obey whatever He tells you. I went on missions with 3 children with $100. $100. I said, God, He said, sell your mother's gold that you inherited. Sell it. I did. They gave me so. We were left with just $100. And we never lacked of where to sleep. We never lacked. Okay, maybe we didn't eat all the nice things we used to eat. And all of us lost weight. And we looked better than before. There was nothing wrong with that. We are more healthy than ever. You want all this. Okay, you want every. You want to pass that imagination. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. They cancel the purpose of God for your life. You want to be able to cast it down? Eh? And bring it. Oh, yeah. See.
I'm bringing it into captivity.
Captivity.
Every thought.
To the obedience of Christ. That means they have not even done the wickedness against you. They are just planning it. And you don't know. And the weapons of warfare of God, you want Him to do that for you. But you don't want to do what He asks you to do. Your life is not like that. Life just does not work like that. Now, let me tell you the key that opens this scripture. Verse 6.
And having a readiness to
revenge all disobedience. Yes.
When your obedience is fulfilled.
Can you see? Fulfilled in scripture means perfected. When your obedience is fulfilled, when your obedience is perfected, then everything, you will revenge all disobedience. You will pull down strongholds. All these things, pull the strongholds, imaginations, high thing and all that, they are disobedience to God. You want to revenge it, you want to bring it down, you want God, the power of God to work for you. No. You have to be ready to obey God and be His friend. So they say, but Rebecca Brown, Dr. Rebecca Brown was doing warfare and she got victory and she never covered her head when she's praying. Well, I don't know. I don't know why it works for her. But if you want we are Africans, we want those uncouth, wicked, stubborn, deadly African idols and gods. You want to overcome them, you better obey God. Well, well. Obey everything He asks you to do. It is just to cover your head. Hallelujah. I mean, I got a reputation. I went to I didn't know some people were watching me. I went to a deliverance camp in England, and it was a weekend deliverance. So on Friday when I came, I put a red beret. I put a one color of beret. The next day I wore another color. By evening I wore another color. On the last day I wore the one I wore on the first day. Some women stopped me. They say, "Mom," I said, "What?" I didn't even know them. They said, "You disappointed us. We thought you would wear another color today." You see, they admire. You said the way you put that beret over your glory, because my hair is, you know, a lot of gray in it, and I had done it well, and I just packed the beret on it. Look, it's even, you can make it and be stylish, but you have obeyed God. It's not, it doesn't take away from your femininity. It doesn't take away from your classiness. It doesn't take away from your being fashionable. Like now, stop wearing berets. It's the Holy Spirit who will tell you. He said, "No, now you wear bucket hats." So I have bucket hats of different colors that will go with this outfit, that outfit. Sometimes I fold it up. Sometimes I fold it at the back up. And in front down, if it's sunny, obey God. And He will show you how to enjoy obeying Him. Hallelujah. I learned the hard way to cover my head, because I will come under serious attack when I finish doing a teaching on spiritual warfare. Also, I mean like serious attack. I'll be going to the toilet every now and then. I'll be rushing to the loo. I know of a man who did something like that. He went to somebody's house and they got out. I mean, they burnt his satanic paraphernalia. He's a man of God. And he's a professor. And another professor said, "Come and help me burn my father's paraphernalia." So they went, and that professor almost died. Yes, he started stooling water like a tap. And at a point, he could not get up from the toilet seat. It was just coming out like water. He had to fall and knock the door, open the door and shout for them to carry him to hospital. It happened to me. At a point, I could not, and I did not know it was a counterattack. I did not know it was a satanic arrow. So I asked God, I said, "Why?" Then He sent an angel to tell me, He said, "Because of this. Pull my hair, because your hair is all over the place. Put a covering on it." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Even when I'm traveling, I wear a head cover, because you are traveling through different zones, through different territories, with territorial princes really over the place, looking out and say, inside that bus there's a child of God. Let me go and shoot arrow. Oh, he's not obeying God. Yeah, the arrow will land. What are you going to do? God forbid. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Blessed be God. Now, the last thing is in Passover. Passover, a time of Passover is a time of angelic manifestations. I think we can't end this without talking about it. I think I've talked about it. When you are going from one season of life to the other, one season of life to the other, there will be angels that will be brought to take you there. And as I said, I said it in part one, that sometimes the Lord Himself that will come and take you across. Angels will be sent to help you, to strengthen you, to minister to you, like into the new year, into marriage, to having a baby, having a new job, going on an important journey. Seasons of life, you know, people who turned 50, you know, 50 is the year of jubilee. So angels are released to bring you into your proper jubilee, because the Bible says that the trumpet of jubilee must sound and every slave must be set free. Every slave must be set free. So if you know how to pray well, in your 50th year, as you enter, you know how to pray. That now I must be set free from everything that is holding me bound. I must be set free. And angels of Jubilee will be sent to help us. Hallelujah. So let's pray. So just say after me. Oh my Father,
how
wonderful you are.
Behold what abundant provisions
you have made for us
to
prevail in the battles of life. We are deeply grateful to you. And we bless your holy name. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. To teach me how to use the word of God.
To pray.
So that I will always have the necessary complement of angels assisting me.
I pray
that you will renew my heart,
transform me from within,
so that I will be more like Jesus
every day of my life,
so that my angels
will feel free.
To cooperate with me.
Oh Lord.
Let every work of the flesh
be crucified now
and replaced
by the fruit of the Spirit
in my life.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord Jesus, I pray for visitations from you.
As you come to escort me
from one level
of life
in my walk with God,
in the name of Jesus,
and in my ministry.
Blessed be your name, Lord.
We give you praise and glory.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Father, we thank you.
Let's just bless the Lord.
Father, thank you. We bless you.
We give you praise.
Blessed be your
name. Thank you, Lord.
Good God.
Wonderful Father.
Blessed be your name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.